The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
Josh Pick is the Chief Investment Advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested.
Welcome in to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley here with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management. And for the next hour, we will be talking about managing your money and building a nest egg for retirement. Very important. We got some interesting statistics for you on retirement and how people are doing. And if you're not doing well, that's why Aptus Wealth Management exists, to help you do better, to take away a lot of the concerns that you have. I'm an Aptus client. My wife and I sat for the free consultation, which you can do as well. Set it up by calling their office, 614-917-1040. No obligation at all. 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. And Josh, as we typically do, we hit the latest headlines here in segment number one of the show, which, by the way, the show will replay tomorrow at noon. If you miss anything today, you'd like to give a heads up to a friend. And the jobs report is the hottest economic headline pressing right now. And as always, we've talked about this, numbers that look good are not necessarily good. And things that look maybe not as good are often better. But we had more jobs than expected, 199,000 in November, up from 150,000 in October. And the 199,000 came in, I believe, 9,000 above estimates. How did the markets react to that? Did they like it? Did they not like it?
The markets reacted very favorably. I mean, quite frankly, if you look at November and now off to a heck of a start in December, you know, November was up 8% in the S&P. And now here we are up yet again in December. So, you know, everything that's happening in the economy, at least in relation to the market over the last, you know, month and a half, has been very positive.
Now, here's a number that I got in this jobs report that probably is in others, but I haven't seen it in others. And I've asked you this question before, and I think you've kind of been as in the dark about it as I have, is we have supposedly now recovered all the jobs that we lost during the pandemic. But my question has always been, how many people are working multiple jobs? Because prior to the pandemic, I think the general assumption was you have one job and that job pays the bills, pays the mortgage, you know, sustains the family. The number in this report is that 8.4 million people were working multiple jobs, which is the highest number since the start of the pandemic. So I get the feeling, Josh, that like we often refer back to inflation during the Carter administration or the 2008 recession, there are these high watermarks in the world of finance and in the world of investing. I think we are also going to, as we progress into the future, view since the pandemic as a metric by which we will measure all things.
Well, yeah, I think a lot's changed, and it's been kind of a slow burn over the last 50 or 60 years, but the pandemic just put the foot all the way onto the accelerator. I mean, if you rewind the clock back and you think of, you know, your parents, my parents, for the most part, you had a single income family that was capable of purchasing a home, raising children, doing all the things that we think of when we think of raising a family. And now, you know, we've really shifted to the dual income family. And now we're talking about, since the pandemic and the advent of this, you know, inflation that we hadn't seen in you know, the better part of 40 years. It's really starting to turn the screws to the average American family. And we're seeing people not only just dual family income, but now working multiple jobs.
You know, and there's a colloquial term out there, a side hustle. Everybody's looking for a side hustle, a way to make more money. I don't know if passive income is the right thing to equate to the side hustle, but, you know, we have ways to make money now at home off our computer, electronically, drop shipping, this, that, the other. Would multiple jobs on one hand, I would think, are a necessity for people to pay their bills. But we always talk about the importance of starting an investment plan for the future as soon as you can. And, you know, how would you respond to someone who says, well, I'm working multiple jobs, but I still can't afford to set anything aside for my retirement. I'm working multiple jobs because I need to pay my bills.
Well, I certainly understand that that is, in fact, the case for many. But I would also argue that our standards of living have really shot through the roof on what we believe that we deserve versus what makes logical sense for the long run. And I think we discussed last week the research study put out by Dave Ramsey's organization showing who are the millionaires in the United States. And I think one of the shocking stats was the vast majority of them never made more than $100,000 as a family unit in their entire lives. And yet still they were able to amass this, you know, $1 million plus investment nest egg. So I think, you know, discipline and consistency are far more important than the perceived, I can't afford anything. Now I say all of that, and if you're sitting at home going, well, you don't understand my scenario and we're literally pinching pennies. I get that too. And that's a different season of your life that we need to get through. But I think for the lion's share of people who say I can't, it's really I would rather than I can't. I would rather go buy the new iPhone. I would rather go out to eat. I would rather, and it's not really necessities. It's really what I'd rather do.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I heard some stories yesterday. Obviously, we have Christmas right around the corner here, and you hear all these people talking about how the economy's not working for them. They're really struggling. Yet consumer spending for Christmas seems like it's not impacted at all. In fact, it seems like it's higher than it was a year ago. And those two things, to me, don't make any sense. If you're having trouble making sense of the headlines today and making sense of your retirement and how you should invest, if you're nervous about the fact that, hey, this is a very serious issue and I'm afraid I'm not qualified to handle it, that was exactly how I felt when I approached my wife and said, you know, what do you think about going in and sitting with Josh and the Aptus team and taking advantage of the free consultation? We did. My wife, who handled all the bills in the family, she's a CPA. She was like, wow, this is definitely something that I would like to take off my plate. So that's how we became Aptus clients. There's no obligation at all. You can set up your appointment with Josh and the team, 614-917-1040. 614-917-1040 is their phone number. They're located in Lewis Center, not far from 23 and 270, right off Route 750. You can also make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, Aptus Wealth. com. And every time we get a new headline, Josh, whether it's the inflation number or whether it's a jobs report or whatever, we always get this mixed bag of predictions by financial analysts. You know, we do have a falling mortgage rate. I saw today that the 30-year fixed mortgage has come down, I think, for the last 3 weeks, which that's great news for people who want to achieve the American dream of home ownership. Do we have a competing consensus? I guess if it's a consensus, it's not competing. Do we have a consensus yet on whether we're looking at a recession in 2024, or do we still have a significant disagreement between a lot of people in your field as to what's ahead of us in 2024?
Yeah, well, first, let me say that this isn't necessarily the consensus that includes me. However, the general consensus has of what's going to happen with interest rates has dramatically shifted over the last week or two. And the general consensus, you know, a month and a half or 2 months ago was the Fed's probably going to have to raise interest rates one more time in the first quarter. The Fed was very hawkish and saying, you know, we'll raise them again if we have to. We're going to go towards this goal of 2% inflation. And to give you perspective, what the Fed looks at is core CPE. So not necessarily just general CPI, but core CPE is still sitting at 3.5. So logic would tell us that either it's going to miraculously bring itself down to 2% over time, or the Fed would have to raise interest rates. But even in light of that, the general consensus amongst pretty much all of the experts, so UBS Bank, JP Morgan, list goes on, is that the Fed will start cutting rates by second quarter of next year, and there will be no more rate hikes. And, you know, the market obviously initially really, really liked that. But, you know, the consensus as a result of that is because we've gotten this all under control and the market likes it, then we have effectively caused this soft landing. And while I hope that they're true and that that's accurate, history hasn't necessarily proved that to be true. So if you look at 2001, 2002, as soon as we started cutting rates, the market actually slid back into recession territory. If you look at 08, 09, same thing happened again. And I think we have a pattern of kind of putting the cart before the horse a little bit and saying, we did what we needed to do. We took enough medicine. It's time to start kind of putting our foot back on the accelerator and lowering rates again, which is great for the economy. And we get a little ahead of ourselves and it kind of has a dramatic pullback. But I would say if that general consensus, if we're going off of that and saying, is it true? We're already seeing bond yields declining. We're already seeing home mortgage rates declining. We're already seeing the narrowing of the inverted yield curve. So the market is reacting or, you know, people are reacting to what the market's already doing. But there does seem to be this general consensus that rates are going to start coming down.
Bruce Woolley, Josh Pick with you here on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. It airs on the re-air tomorrow, Saturday at noon. You can catch it on 989theanswer.com. Just search podcast. And we're happy to have you with us. To reach Josh and the Aptus team for your free consultation, no obligation at all, is 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. Yeah, we talk a lot about the 2008 recession. It was so bad and involved so many people with their most precious possession, their house, that we tend to forget about that 2001 recession. And we try not to get political on this show because the politics, while they play into investing, we're about getting people's nest eggs to where they need to be when they get to retirement. But as I think about 2001 and 2008, 2001 is in the aftermath of a presidential election. 2008 is leading up to a presidential election. Look, it's no secret. We're headed for a presidential election in November of 2024. The Fed is supposed to be independent of whoever is in office, but there's no secret that the economy very often decides who will win the presidency. So, somewhere in there, I guess I'm wondering, like, do you feel like the Fed is sensitive to political pressure from a sitting administration, whether it's Democrat or Republican, and that that might have caused in 2001 and 2008 maybe a little bit of the jumping of the gun of cutting rates that you just referred to that contributed to us experiencing recession in those two instances?
Well, I think we would be naive to think that the Fed isn't somewhat influenced by the, you know, commander in chief of its respective country. So, you know, I think there is some influence there. Now, whether or not that is causing them to try and bolster the economy for whoever incumbent they want to be elected or whoever, whatever politician they want to lead the charge and try and steer the economy in that direction to help them, I don't know. But I will say that in light of all of these positive things that we're talking about, you know, the S&P being up, the market as a whole being up, really November was the month of everything being good. I mean, pretty much everything went up with the exception of bond yields. But because bond yields were coming down, prices went up. So bonds actually realized about a 4% gain as a whole in November. So everything was good. But then simultaneously, gold was up 2.5% in November, which gold is historically kind of the in case of emergency, break glass, batten down the hatches asset class, where people are very concerned about the future volatility of the economy, and more importantly, the impact of interest rates and inflation on the U.S. dollar. And now we're kind of teasing with gold the historical highs, which anytime in any asset class, you start teasing a historical high, you have a fear of missing out amongst people. You see this in the stock market. You see it in the gold market. So that could be an interesting asset class to watch as well. So I think you have this confluence of all these different things. You have an election year coming up. You have the prospect of a, at least according to the general consensus, a pretty significant lowering interest rates, which is going to affect the housing market, which is going to affect all lines and channels of the economy. But at the same time, you have this uncertainty, which is bolstering up gold prices. And I think the real question is, if I'm looking at the stock market and saying I'm a long-term investor and I'm just going to kind of leave that alone and ride the highs and lows, but I do want some safe money. What do I do with it right now? Because bonds don't necessarily look as attractive as they were even, you know, 6 months ago, as rates were kind of plateauing, yields were going up. Now it looks like, or at least appears like, the pricing has already hit the bond market of the ideology that rates are going to start declining. So has that ship sailed? And I think the short answer is now might be a pretty good time to start thinking about locking in some fixed rates with some of your guaranteed money. And there's different ways you can do that. Obviously, CDs are one way, buying individual treasuries are another way, and buying, you know, guaranteed fixed annuities are another way. But we're starting to see these fixed annuity companies, for example, or CD issuings, really starting to tease with trickling back their rates. But you can still get, I mean, I just saw a guaranteed fixed annuity contract the other day that was a 5-year fixed annuity contract that was almost 6%. That 6% guaranteed every single year. I think it was 5.85 or something like that. So I think for a lot of people, as they're heading into this uncertainty, if I could just get 5.85 guaranteed for the next 5 years, that's good enough for me. I think that time is probably now or in the very, very near future.
He's Josh Pick. I'm Bruce Hooley. This is the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show, and you can get with the Aptus team for a free consultation by calling their office and making your appointment, 614-917-1040. Their web address is Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. If you're outside the area, they do service clients remotely, but they'd like for the consultation, if possible, to be in person in their offices just off Route 750, which is not far from 23 and 270. Yeah, I mean, I know when you were talking about, you know, the decline in rates and this belief now that maybe the Fed is done raising rates and might cut rates, you said it's not necessarily your view. I wanted you to build out a little bit on that and on perhaps what does this, you know, new view of the expectation for the Fed mean for investors? And you touched on some of the things just now and maybe how people should invest, but build off that a little bit and why you think those vehicles might be good vehicles for this point in time.
Well, while I do agree that I don't think that we should go running into more interest rate hikes, because I think the economy is at a relatively delicate point, and you can give somebody too much medicine, right? I mean, Tylenol is good. It'll get rid of your headache. You take too much of it, it'll kill you. And I think if we look at interest rates, we've raised them dramatically, steeper than we ever have in the history of the U.S. economy. So I think, you know, let's let that kind of enter into the system for a little bit before we start raising rates anymore. So I agree with that. But then to go from that steep of an interest rate increase over a period of 12 months, and then in a mere couple of months, start whacking it back down, I think that puts us in a position where we could end up right back where we started to some capacity. And we saw that during the 70s, which led to the 80s. You know, we thought we had it all licked, and clearly we didn't, because if you tried to buy a house in the 80s, you remember what interest rates looked like back then. So I don't necessarily agree with that. The other thing I don't agree with is this general consensus that the soft landing is achieved. You can stop the investigation. We got it all taken care of. Nothing to see here. Everything's going to be rosy and peachy moving forward, because I cannot find too many instances of historical context where that was actually the case. Now, that does not mean I'm, you know, sounding the alarm bells that everybody should go pull all of their money out of the stock market. A matter of fact, a more prudent way would be, you know, there is this general belief, you know, always invest with the consensus and then diverge from the consensus when you start to see factors change. So, you know, I would say ride this train for a little bit as everybody starts dumping all their money back into the market, because there will be less competition for the market as rates decline. So if rates do end up declining, you can't get 5.85 in a 5-year account anymore. So now what are you going to do? You're going to put it back in your money market earning 1% as opposed to 5? No, you're probably going to start putting money back into the market, which will in fact drive demand. It'll drive the market back up. The question is, how long will that sustain, and will there be a pullback? And that's where I diverge from this general consensus. I think there's at least a significant probability that in the next couple of years, we will see a significant pullback in the market. And I think that needs to be handled with care. Not that I'm saying that you should start day trading or trying to time the market, but if you're planning on retiring or you're reliant upon income from your investments over the next couple of years, I think you should heed the warning and start planning, where am I going to get my income for the next 2 to 5 years, just in case I need to weather a storm in the market.
Well, I would think if you are on the cusp of retirement, that 5.8% rate that you talked about is like manna from heaven. I mean, that's really good, because traditionally we thought you get right at retirement, you don't want the volatility of the market, you scale back to much safer investments. The safer investments, to my recollection, have not paid nearly anywhere close to 5.8% in the past, have they, or have I missed it?
They haven't in a very, very long time. You know, and what's interesting about that is we really haven't had to have fixed investments paying that high because inflation has been so low. So let's kind of go back and look through what's happened since COVID and how you could have timed those investments, and then look at the factors that are facing us today and see if you could do something similar. So, you know, COVID hits, we inject trillions of dollars into the economy. Everybody's yelling, this is going to go to an inflationary situation. Of course, all the powers be saying nothing to see here, everything's going to be fine, which what happened? It went into an inflationary environment. So as that occurs, you say, well, if rates are going to continually climb and climb and climb, we should probably put our fixed money in something like a money market, because that will continue to climb with interest rates. It's completely liquid. We can take advantage of opportunities, et cetera. Okay, what else should we have done? Well, if we know that interest rates are going to climb, we probably should have shortened the duration of our bond portfolio, because interest rates and bonds are inversely proportional, which we've talked about a million times on this show. But how many people did any of those things? They're trying to do them now. Well, now I better do that because, you know, I really got hurt. Well, that's the old that's over now. We're done with that. So now what should we do? Well, if you believe interest rates are going to fall, well, just leave it in that money market and watch it fall all the way back down to where you started. Or is now a good time to lock in rates? And where did you come from and where could you be now? Well, you were earning 1% or 2% on your money market or your fixed investments when inflation was 2. Then you were only earning 1 when inflation was 9. Now you have the potential to earn 5.85 when inflation is down in the 3s on its way, hopefully down into the 2s, and you can kind of lock that in. So, you know, I think you have to recognize patterns that at least appear like they're going to happen in the future based upon historical data, and then make decisions. And, you know, you're absolutely right. When's the last time we saw 5.85% guaranteed rates? The answer is probably somewhere around 2000, 2001. And if you could have locked in, you know, imagine if you could have locked in a 20-year, not that this existed, but a 20-year guaranteed rate back in 2000 at 6%, would your retirement look different than the volatility you experienced up to this point? Again, not suggesting, Bruce, that we move all our money out of the market, just a tremendous opportunity that I think you should take advantage of with a piece of your pie, if it makes sense.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think, you know, we looked at it for the person who's on the cusp of retirement. I mean, even for somebody who's like in their mid-30s and they're starting to get serious about retirement, I know that over 20 years, 25, 30 years, their returns, if they're heavily invested in the market, are probably going to exceed 5.85%. But in a five-year window, it might not exceed 5.85%.
It might not, and we can't neglect the fact that certain people are not made for investing in the market. I mean, you can say whatever you want about the market. You know, it's the greatest, that, and I agree that it's one of the single best investing tools on the planet. You're investing in the virility of the U.S. economy. You're investing in stocks. You're investing in the profitability of those stocks and effectively owning pieces of those companies. That's fantastic. And historically speaking, it has outpaced every other investment really that you can think of. But some people just simply can't handle the volatility, which is why the average person does not return what the typical market actually returns. So for those people, do you leave the money in cash? Do you put it in the market and then sell when the market's low and buy when it's high again and just have an emotional roller coaster of really non-stellar returns? Or do you just say, I'm going to do the math and calculate it out, and at 5.85, I can get to where I need to be? It's up to you.
Yeah, and believe me, it's so much easier to make those decisions when you have a fiduciary, and that's someone like Josh and the Aptus team, who are legally obligated to do what is best for you, when they can explain the wisdom of whatever decision you're considering. When you're doing it yourself, it's like working without a net. But when you have a fiduciary, someone with a proven track record and the vast experience that Josh and the Aptus team have, that gave my wife and I incredible peace of mind. It's a whole lot easier to sleep at night now, knowing that we're 8-10 years away from retirement. We don't have to worry about messing it up ourselves. If you'd like to sit for your free consultation with Josh and the Aptus team, you can do so by setting up your appointment, 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. This is the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show, and we'll be back with more very shortly. Thanks for joining us on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley here with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management. And for the next half hour, we will be talking about investing and growing the money that you have set aside to invest through your hard work. You don't want to get to retirement and not be prepared for a lot of the costs that come. And a big part of that, of course, is tax planning. And as we near the end of 2023, it's perhaps a good time to talk about tax planning and whether retirees get pounded in tax planning and tax procedures, or whether there are some advantages for retirees. That's among the many things that they can help you with at Aptus Wealth Management. And you can discuss those things with them when you sit for a free consultation with Josh and the Aptus team. They're located in Lewis Center, right off Route 750, not far from the 23270 interchange. Set up your consultation with no obligation at all beyond that consultation itself by calling their office at 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. And we don't pay our 2023 taxes until April of 2024, Josh, but are there things right now that people should be talking about? And specifically when we get to retirees, do they have maybe a larger deduction? Do you get a larger deduction as a retiree than you get as a person who's not retired? Or do you get pounded on withdrawal penalties or things like that from various retirement accounts? Generally, how does tax policy treat retirees?
Well, in general, tax policy for retirees is pretty good. And I think it was improved even further during the Trump administration with the increase in the standard deduction. Because quite frankly, most retirees are not exceeding the standard deduction to begin with, so they weren't benefiting from itemized deductions as a whole. So the fact that the standard deduction went up was a good thing. But what most retirees don't know is that not only do they get to claim a higher now standard deduction that they have in years past, but they also get an increased standard deduction if they're over the age of 65. So if you're over the age of 65 and you're single, you get an extra $1,850. And if you're married, each one of you gets an extra $1,500. So theoretically, a married couple filing gets an extra $3,000 worth of standard deduction. Then on top of that, you can get a homestead exemption for your real estate. There's a lot of things that you can actually benefit from once you reach certain ages. But, if you're not retired yet, but you're getting close, also don't ignore as you're looking at planning for taxes, all the benefits that you have in the way of increased contributions to things. For example, you have a catch-up contribution if you're over the age of 50 in your 401k. You can put more money into your 401k, which all that money goes in pre-tax, and you get a tax deduction for that. Your IRA, you get an extra $1,000 a year in your IRA when you're over the age of 50. Your HSA, you get extra contribution limits in your HSA, which again goes in pre-tax. And I think we'd be naive to think that as we get older, our medical bills don't get a little bit more expensive than we were when we were in our 20s. So having that HSA is hugely beneficial, not only now, but when you get into retirement. So huge amount of advantages and things you can do to not only reduce your tax bite today, but improve your situation in retirement and heading into retirement.
My wife's a CPA, and it strikes me, and I want to check with you to see if this is accurate, that the most significant changes in tax policy happen when we go from one political party to another political party in control of the presidency. I remember when you mentioned the increase in the standard deduction under Trump, that was a radical change in tax policy. Has it historically been the case that because the two political parties are so polarized and view almost everything from totally opposite perspectives, that we find that when there's a change in tax policy, it most often coincides with a change in presidential administration?
It typically does. Now, I will say in current administration, we really haven't seen significant changes to tax policy really whatsoever. So we're still effectively on the Trump tax plan. Now, that tax plan is set to sunset in 2025, I believe, or 2026. So obviously something will need to change, or it will revert back to the old Obama plan in 2025 or 2026. I fully envision that something will get done between now and then, but who is elected will make a monumental difference on the view of federal taxes. You know, historically speaking, Republicans like to lower taxes at the federal level and kind of lean into the states to handle their own tax bite and run their own house. Whereas, you know, Democrats, historically speaking, in general, tend to believe that a, you know, higher tax going to the federal government and then getting disseminated back out to the states is a better policy. So we'll kind of see. But obviously, like you had said, Bruce, that's all hinged upon whether or not there's unity in the, you know, in the House and whether or not they can actually get anything passed.
Josh Pick, Bruce Hooley with you. This is the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. It airs Friday nights at 7 and Saturdays at noon. And you can get a free consultation with no obligation at all with Josh and the Aptus team by setting up your appointment by calling their office, 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. Also, you can make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Their offices are located in Lewis Center off Route 750. And taxes, Josh, can really have a big impact on people's retirement nest egg. I mean, there are so many different things that can play into people's taxes. And now we've talked before about how we've gotten away from the typical situation where somebody works for a company their whole life, they get a company pension, they got, you know, Social Security and their company pension. Now we've got a more common situation with people's retirement is where they're pulling from this investment, that investment, maybe this 401k from a certain job they had for 5 years, one from 10 years, whatever. And each one of those things, each one of those distributions can be taxed differently. That can make a big difference to a retiree's tax bill, can it not?
Yeah, on one hand, you know, we would probably all love to just have guarantees and have a pension that we can never outlive and everything works great. There are some downsides to that, and the upsides to having defined contribution plans, which is what most people have now, meaning that the only thing that's defined is how much you're going to put into it. How much you're going to have in retirement, well, that's yet to be determined. That's on you. But that gives you a little bit of power, so you can control how and when you take income from these different sources. And typically, when we see people come to the office, they'll have maybe a small pension, a 401k, an IRA, some non-qualified dollars, maybe a Roth IRA, maybe they have some rental property, and the list kind of just keeps on going on and on. And the question almost always is, how do I use all this stuff in the most efficient way from a tax perspective to get the income that I need? Because I understand it's not what I make, it's how much that I get to keep of what I make. And oftentimes what we see is people kind of anecdotally or arbitrarily just saying, well, I'm going to start with this bucket, and then I'm going to move on to this bucket. And then when that one's empty, I'll move on to this bucket. And it's just kind of assigned at ad hoc. When in reality, there is a kind of a secret sauce to how do we do that to minimize the tax bite. Now, we did get some benefits from the Secure Act 2.0 in this, and that now the minimum required distribution age, which was 70 and a half just a few years ago, is now 73 and moving forward even beyond that as the years go on. And what that enables us to do is have a little bit more time in retirement to control that more. Where do we take it from? Do Roth conversions make sense? How do we kind of structure or ladder out all of this income, not just for the purposes of making sure we don't run out of money, but getting to keep as much money as we possibly can?
You, of course, have an array of clients at Aptus. You have some who are, you know, decades from retirement. You have some that are much closer. You have some that are in the midst of retirement. For somebody who's trying to really manage their tax bill closely because they're in retirement, how often or I guess how much lag time do you get, reaction time do you get to propose changes in tax law? What I'm working toward here is like how periodically should you review the way you are structuring your retirement distributions in order to adjust them to get the maximum benefit that you can to pay as few of taxes legally as you can?
Yeah, I think you should do it every year. And I think you should do it every year for a myriad of reasons. One being pretty obvious, life is not as streamlined and textbook as we'd like it to be. It's a little bit messier. And in some years, you know, you need a new roof. So you got to put a new roof on the house, which changes, if you want to pay cash for that, it changes how much income you took this year versus last year. So how you plan for that and where you take that from is different than in years prior. So I think it's important that every single year you revisit your income distribution plan, which is why it's so important here that we meet with clients at least twice a year to kind of revisit not just that, but wealth distribution plans, continuation plans. Are your beneficiaries still accurate? You know, I think oftentimes we get at the end of the year, we get caught up in what can I do from a tax perspective? And then we never look at our will, our trust, our beneficiaries, all the other things that are pretty darn important too, meaning that if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, is all this stuff going to play out the way that I want it to play out? So I think there's a bunch of things that you should do on an annual basis. And one of the benefits to these reviews is we, you know, have a checklist. Let's just make sure that we're covering everything every single time. Now, it's not an actual checklist where I'm going to go through and check the boxes, but when you do this day in and day out, you know what a review is and you know what to cover, and you make sure that you don't leave any stone unturned.
Yeah, and that for my wife and I was huge, in that we have somebody who's, you know, working on these kinds of things and well-versed in these kinds of things and has a track record of success in these kinds of things. Set up your free consultation with Josh and the Aptus team. Find out if you're a good fit as a client for them and they're a good fit to be your investment counselors and your investment advisors. Set up that consultation by calling 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, or you can do so by making your appointment on the web at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. And we often get good content out of surveys that financial websites or publications take. Here's an interesting one from money.com. They surveyed 1,600 people between the ages of 50 and 75, trying to gauge their satisfaction and their confidence in retirement. You've looked at this survey, Josh. What stuck out to you from this? Anything surprising to you in it?
Not really surprising, but I think it really solidifies something that we've already believed. And that is that multiple sources of income, and I'm not talking about just Social Security and your 401k, I'm talking about multiple sources of income via different investment vehicles. So in this particular survey, what it said was, and these are not the only two investment vehicles, but it's the only two that they looked at, was if somebody has stock market investments and an annuity contract, or just one of each, how happy are they in their retirement? And interestingly, the people who had just an annuity or just stock market investments were about equally happy. So you would think that one would be happier than the other, depending upon when they did the survey in the market, right? So you would think if the market was really down, then everybody would be really happy with the annuity. And if the market was really up, everybody would be dissatisfied with the annuity. But the reality was they were both about equally happy. But when you looked at the combination of the two, meaning I have income coming from both of these things, not only did their satisfaction in their retirement go up, which seems like an arbitrary reason for your retirement, you know, happiness and satisfaction to go up, but their confidence in their retirement went up significantly. And I think this really points to something that we can't lose sight of, and that is we are emotional creatures. We want to be the most rational human beings on earth and just look for the best thing. And by the best thing, I mean, okay, well, if we know over the long run the stock market is the best place to do everything, well, then why do we constantly want to buy real estate? Or why do we constantly want to get land? Or why would we constantly want to get this or that? And I think the inherent reason is it could be greed, and that we believe that we can get rich with those things. But I think the other thing that we're really pointing towards is I would feel more comfortable if I didn't rely exclusively on this one thing. If I could have income coming in from a rental property coupled with income coming in off of an annuity, coupled with income coming in off of Social Security, coupled with a pension, coupled with my 401k, coupled with my Roth IRA, boy, I'd feel a heck of a lot better than if I just had this one thing spitting out, because God forbid that goes belly up and I'm in big trouble. The other thing that, you know, it wasn't in the same survey, but I think really echoes the sentiments of that survey, is what do we need to have in a retirement, or what things should we have in a retirement that bring us a happier retirement and less worry? And as much as, you know, people on my side of the table always like to talk about things like arbitraging interest rates, and should you pay off your mortgage because, you know, your mortgage is only 3% and you can get 5.85% and all of that, every survey you will ever read will always say people who have no debt in retirement are happier. All of them. You can't find one. I actually challenge you, Bruce, to walk down the street and just ask people, is your house paid off? And when they, anybody that says yes, ask them if they think it was a dumb choice. Nobody thinks it's a bad choice. I don't care what kind of interest rate they can get. Having zero debt makes people feel very good. Having their life be simple, multiple streams of income with very low overhead seems to be the secret sauce to a happy and worry-free retirement.
Well, and when you talk about all those different buckets you can pull from in retirement, what you're really talking about is diversification. I mean, it's a form of diversification, having those different places. And I asked you earlier about whether the tax system was friendly toward seniors or not. I'll just take you behind the curtain a little bit. This week, my eyes were drawn to a headline. We have our house paid off, and it is great peace of mind to have our house paid off. But I know we're going to have a sizable gain just because we've owned our house for 20 plus years. And I was heartened to see that, you know, if my wife and I both survived to the point where we're going to sell our house, you can get like $500,000 exempted on capital gains from the sale of your house. I'm not sure if that's something you can do only once in your life or more than once, but I know we've never done it. So I was really happy to see that headline.
Yeah, absolutely. It's your primary residence. You get a $500,000 exemption on all capital gains. And beyond that, terrible way to get tax benefit. But if you're, you know, in that 75 plus category, none of us gets out of here alive. Not only could you sell it if you wanted to, but God forbid you both pass, it goes to your kids completely tax free because they get a step up in basis. So I think sometimes the monster under the bed is scarier than the one that's actually standing in front of you. And we hear these the taxes are going to be awful and they're going to be that. Well, taxes need to be managed. There are many benefits that some people just aren't aware of that you need to take advantage of.
Josh Pick, Bruce Hooley with you again. Aptus Wealth Management is located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750, and they would love to sit with you and have a free consultation with you, no obligation at all. Talk about these concepts, gauge your exposure in the markets, gauge your tolerance for risk, find out if you're a good fit for them. My wife and I certainly found that out, and we are very, very content Aptus clients right now. I think you might wind up the same, but you won't know until you sit for the free consultation, 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, or do it online. Make your appointment online, Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. And to your point about people being happier when they don't have debt, here's some numbers that I found in a Yahoo Finance survey of how many retirees actually retire with $1 million. That's kind of everybody's figure that they have out there. They said a significant portion of retirees, approximately 71%, this is not going to be a good number, 71% carry non-mortgage debt, which averages just under $20,000. And the lion's share of that, of course, is medical debt. So if you've got 7 out of 10 retirees, people in retirement, Josh, who have debt beyond their mortgage, that would show you somebody who would, I'd say, have reason for anxiety in retirement.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, I read an article once, or not an article, but I saw this advertisement, I guess. I can't remember what it was for, if it was for an exercise bike or something like that, but it was in the old Sky Mall catalogs. Do you remember the Sky Mall when you get on a plane? So this is obviously dating me. This was probably 20 years ago, but it said, how you choose to live the first 50 years of your life dictates how you get to live the next 50 years of your life. And I think what we're seeing here, and you know, you said how many people have $1 million, but I'm sure somewhere in that article, it probably says what the average retiree has. And I'm sure it's probably somewhere around 1/10 or 1/20 of that amount at best. So, you know, if you look at that and you go, well, you know, okay, so the average person's used to living on the average family income of $60,000 roughly per year, $60,000 to $70,000 per year. So let's say $5,000 a month, and you only have $100,000 or $200,000 in total retirement savings, that's going to be a challenge. Now, add on top of that, that we have all of this debt. Maybe we rent, which we've seen what's happened with rental prices here as of late. But even if you own, we've seen what's happened with real estate taxes. You're cutting it pretty close. So yeah, it's going to be a pretty stressful situation. I think the important part is get in front of it, do the appropriate planning. And if you go, well, I've waited too long already, I'm already in my late 50s, and here I am staring down the barrel of the gun of retirement. Well, I guess you could wait 5 more years and see if it gets better on its own. But that's not usually the way things go. You probably need to do something now.
No, absolutely right. I mean, I'll skip to the end of this survey, and it says a majority of retirees admit they did not prepare adequately. 51% acknowledge their lack of sufficient preparation. The good news is, if you're listening to this show, you have made at least gaining information about retirement a priority. And Josh and the Aptus team can help you with that, can help you understand it better. It can certainly help you if you have a nest egg there to manage. It can certainly help you with that. 614-917-1040. They say one of the common regrets is a lack of understanding about retirement savings. Well, I mean, you know what? You don't really have to understand it if you have a fiduciary, somebody who's legally obligated to do what's best for you. That's what they are at Aptus. So set that consultation up, 614-917-1040, or make your appointment online, Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Here's another number that's not really that flattering. 45% of retirees report a decline in their standard of living since retirement. It doesn't have to be that way. Another reason to sit for your free consultation, 614-917-1040, and get started as soon as possible. You are dead on in your numbers. In 2023, the average American retiree, according to this survey on yahoofinance.com, average American retiree had about $170,000 in retirement savings. Now, that's down from $200,000 at the beginning of 2022. Inflation is the reason, of course, for that. But 37% of retirees say they have no retirement savings, no retirement savings at all. And the best way to take care of that is to, if you haven't started, start today.
Yeah, you know, one of the significant stats that we've talked about many times on the show is not just retirement savings, but how many people have an emergency fund. And I think statistically, and I may be off on this, but I think statistically speaking, approximately 50% of the people in the United States, if pressed, could not come up with $2,000. And that is a really on tilt position to be in. And if you're in that situation, just know that you can improve. And the beautiful part about today's world is the information is readily accessible, and there are more options available today to achieve your goals than there have been since the beginning of time. It's just a matter of knowing how to navigate that and take advantage of things. And you'd be surprised, Bruce. I think oftentimes on the show, people listening probably think that we're talking about how can we manage your portfolio better than you're managing your portfolio today, which is certainly a very significant part of what we do, probably the lion's share of what we do. But the other thing is cash flow management, meaning I have this amount of money and these income sources to live off of for the rest of my life. Here's the debts I have. What's the most efficient way to handle this? I'll give you an example. I had a client that came in the other day. They had a sizable savings account, but they also had a sizable credit card debt. And they didn't want to pay off their credit cards because they didn't want to not have cash available. So they were paying 17% interest on their credit cards and only earning 4% interest on their savings account. Well, cash flow wise, when they were in retirement, it was costing them, and I might be off here, but you know, it was like an extra $600 a month that if we just kind of, you know, played a little bit of a shell game, we just injected $600 a month back into the cash flow system. And that may sound very obvious and simple, but sometimes for some of us, it's just not. And if you think that one's simple and it kind of moves the needle quite a bit, there's a myriad of things like that where you can really make a significant difference that some are obvious and some are not so obvious, but they need to at least be investigated and they can really improve your life.
Yeah, and that's what they specialize in at Aptus is taking what I call a dispassionate approach to those kinds of decisions. They don't make the decisions. You make the decisions, but they present you the information, and they present you the information in a way that is not maybe as emotionally attached to the results of the decision as it is for you, because it's your money and it's your retirement. One of the numbers that jumped out at me in this survey, 65% of retirees, and we talk a lot about retirement planning, and you should plan for retirement. That's what they specialize in. But 65% of retirees have to retire earlier than they anticipated because of health issues. So yet another reason why you should involve Josh and the Aptus team or a fiduciary who's legally obligated to do what is best for you. Set up your consultation, 614-917-1040. If you haven't started, look, it's like going to the dentist. The longer you wait, the more painful it's going to be. 614-917-1040, Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Josh, great talking with you. Thanks for your time today.
You as well. Thanks, Bruce.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.